Round of applause, it's your big night, you've been waiting for this. You got your dress picked, your shoes right, your jewelry flawless. New names in your call list, thought I'd never know all this. Took a risk just to play that role, must have took a whole lot of courage. Damn, sure know how to work a room. Baby, ooh, you a star. Then make it home right for dinner time. Where'd you study at, Juilliard? You so gifted, no audition. Must be chasing after the fame. Well, the stage is set and the winner is. Look, they called your name. Congratulations, you played yourself. Congratulations, you played yourself. Congratulations, you played yourself.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Don't be so shocked now, you earned it. Can't even speak, you so nervous. Had your speech ready, your girl set. The back you like a chorus. Chorus, alibis, just a noble lie. Ain't no need to apologize. Go ahead, baby, accept that shit. And look, this whole thing's televised.
Just so thankful.
I'm just so thankful you done got caught. For that jewelry maker was caught. Cue that rapper music, cut it short. No audition, you so gifted. Heard you chasing after the fame. Well, the stage is set and the winner is. Look, they called your name.
It's crazy.
Congratulations, you played yourself. Congratulations, you played yourself. Congratulations, you played yourself.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, you played yourself. Congratulations, you played yourself. Congratulations, you played yourself.
Congratulations.
What's good? It's your boy Hollywood. This is Hollywood and Friends. Thank you for tuning in, however you're tuning in. I appreciate you. Be sure to follow me on social media at I Am Hollywood, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. If you're on TikTok, it's at I Am Hollywood NY. Be sure to follow my producer, Stacy, over here at Hampton Blue Network. Of course, all platforms. Just remember, BLU is how you spell blue. And if you want to see us and not just hear us, hit up YouTube, youtube.com/HamptonBlue. If it's your first time tuning in, welcome. I appreciate you for listening. What we get into over here is what's hot in these blogs. And not always the most politically correct way, but we're going to address what the people talking about, the things that got people in a chokehold for this week. And that's what it is. We got What Blows Mind. That's a segment a little later where we say what gets under our skin, what irks our nerves. But we're going to kick it off. Actually, before I do that, I'm going to tell y'all what we're going to be talking about for the week. The NAACP Awards happened this weekend. I'm going to chop it up about that, who was the big winners and things that happened at the show. What else hot in these blogs? TikTok. There's a ban that's in the works. It just passed the House. It's moving on to the Senate, where it may not pass as easily, but we're going to get into that and what's the next steps for it. Lake Lanier. You may be familiar with this historic place, but it's hot in the blogs this week because they are planning to build its first ever water slide. And it got a lot of people looking at the people who's trying to do this sideways. We're going to chop it up about it. Power Book 2 announced that it is returning for its fourth season, and it shocked a lot of fans by also announcing it's going to be the final season. Talking about that. What else? Lil Mama admits to being depressed following her jumping on the stage with Jay-Z and Alicia Keys. Yeah, we still talking about that. And this is probably going to be a part of my What Blows Mind. Kanye West or also known as Ye these days, him and Kai Cenat, who is a YouTuber, I guess, an influencer. Cool dude from what I could see online. Him and Kanye had a little back and forth. That's going to probably be a part of my What Blows Mind. I'm going to tell y'all why a little bit later. But we're going to kick it off how we always do. And that's with the question of the week. This week's question of the week is a little different than previous questions of the week. It's more of a scenario. So I'm going to put this scenario up and I want y'all to tell me what y'all would do in this case. So you loaned your friend $3,000 last year. Since then, she refused to pay you back, which has really deteriorated your friendship. So now you're getting to the point where you're in a financial crisis and you ask her, just pay me $1,000 of it. You owe me three, just pay me $1,000. Forget the rest because I really need that $1,000. Your friend says she can only give you $500 since that's all she has. You feel you have no option to accept, but to accept it. So you eventually give her your account info for her to send you that $500. You wake up the next morning, you check your account and you notice that you got $5,000 in it. And you wondering like, huh? You look at your phone and you see that you have like 70 some missed calls, a bunch of text messages that your friend sent you begging for you to transfer back the $4,500. She only meant to send you $500. She mistakenly added the extra zero. This is where the question comes in. What do you do? Do you send her back the $4,500 that she's requesting? Do you take your full $3,000 back that she owed you? Or keep the whole $5,000? F it. Keep the whole $5,000. What would you do? I'm going to read some responses from the internets. This from my Instagram pages, at Hampton Blue Network and at Hollywood and Friends. Uniquely Brooklyn said she's taking the full $3,000. Scooby Snack said, I'm keeping $5,000 and blocking her. I had a similar situation happen. And everything was settled. I just never spoke to her again and move on. The whole thing left a feeling I couldn't get past. Even though we were close, I can't imagine having these kind of friends in my life, especially when I have more important things to worry about. Bye. The Jesus said, tells her, sorry, $500 is all I have. Shakira Dockery said she's taking the $3,000. Bigasser 99 said, take what she owes you and make her come get the $2,000 and then tell her to never contact me again. Hate a liar. Theo Rim 46 said, take the full $3,000. And I think that was the last response that I'm seeing right here. What say you? We also posted a poll on the Instagram page and 42 responses in the poll. 88% of them said they're going to take the $3,000 that the person owed them. 5% said they're going to send back the $4,500. That's a small percentage of good Samaritans, I guess, if you will. And 7% said they're going to keep the entire $5,000. For me, I would say it depends. There's some factors in here. I'm probably going to have to hit my friend up on some, like, I thought you said you only had $500. Why am I looking at $5,000? And pending their response is going to determine what I do next. Now, if their account is overdrawn because of this mistake, and let's just say their bank has one of those features where they'll overdraft them, and now they're looking at, they're in the negative, I'm going to be the good friend and I'm going to send back the 45. Now, if they give me some reason like, that's for something else, like I need that, da, 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 I'm probably going to take my 3,000. I'm probably going to take the 3,000 back. So it's just in no scenario am I ever going to keep the full 5,000. But It definitely depends what the friend says when I hit them up, like, I thought you only had $500. What's up? That's my response. If I get any more responses throughout the show, I will read them, but we're going to get ready to get into what's hot in these blogs. And we're going to kick it off with the NAACP Awards. This is an award show that I feel is necessary. I feel we need to be a part of more. I feel the biggest names in the industry should be popping out to this event. I feel we can make the NAACP Awards our Grammys. We can make the NAACP Awards our Oscars, even. The NAACP Awards, they honor outstanding representations of achievements of people of color in motion pictures, television, music, and literature. And it's an award show for us, by us. Why wouldn't we be there? And I feel like in recent years, I feel like there's always artists and actors and stuff that attends the event. There's a certain group that's like always there, right? But like the top who's aren't always in the building. And I feel like we need to change that. Last night, or when it aired, which was on Saturday night over the weekend, Usher was in the building, Fantasia was in the building, Taraji P. Henson, Dame St. Idris, they were some of the big winners of the night. Usher took home Entertainer of the Year. It was. What else was it? Usher took home Entertainer of the Year. That's kind of like the biggest award of the night. Color Purple won for Outstanding Motion Picture. Coleman Domingo won for Outstanding Actor in a Motion Picture for his role in Rustin. Fantasia won for The Color Purple for Outstanding Actress in a Motion Picture. Coleman Domingo won twice. He won another one for Best Supporting Actor. That's big. How you win supporting and lead? The supporting one was for The Color Purple. Outstanding Supporting Actress went to Taraji for The Color Purple. That was dope. A lot of people was feeling like Danielle Brooks should have took it. I ain't mad that Taraji took it. Danielle definitely did her thing in The Color Purple as well. Yeah, it was a dope night overall. I love seeing us in the building looking the way we look. You know, it's definitely a dope show that I feel like a lot more people should tap into and tune into. Fast shouts to the NAACP Awards. It was hosted by Queen Latifah. I actually was able to be there for last year's ceremony. And it's just something about being in that room with all that Black excellence that's just like, it's unlike no other. So yeah, fast shouts to us. And this was the 55th annual, and looking forward to the 56th. Let's get out there. Let's attend this event even more than we already do. So yeah, that's that. Let's move on. What else hot in these blogs? The TikTok ban that's going on right now. We spoke about this last week that it was rumored to be, it was like threatened that this ban might happen. So over the past few days, it actually went through a vote within the House of Representatives, and it passed with like staggering, what's the word I'm looking for? Like staggering margins, I guess. It was, I forget the exact amount of people that voted for it and against it, but it was like way more people that voted for it. But so this made blogs this week, and a lot of people was feeling like it's officially happening, like TikTok is going to be banned. But it actually is a few more steps you got to go through before that happens. It has to go to the House next, and then it has to go to the president where he would sign it. He already said that if it makes it to his desk, he's going to sign it. But the Senate might not be so quick with the votes. It might not be this like landslide thing. So it might slow down in the Senate, which I find to be the case with a lot of bills. I feel like a lot of bills pass the House like with flying colors, and then it gets stuck at the Senate, and then they got to go back, and then they got to redo it, pass again in the House, go back to the Senate. And so this will likely not be no different. It might not pass as easily. Another aspect of this that I find super funny is when the former occupant of the White House was in there, he was trying to do a ban of TikTok. Your man is like the ultimate op. He's like the epitome of what an op is. And now it feels like because this new administration is on board to ban TikTok and is making some waves and is passing in the House and on its way to the Senate, your man 45 is now against the ban of TikTok. And it's like, I guess, I don't know. I don't know any other way to explain it other than he's the op. And that's what ops do. Ops are going to be opposed to anything that you are doing. And it's just funny to me. So as of right now, 45 is basically, he has this gripe against Meta and Mark Zuckerberg, where he feels that they had a hand in why he lost the last election. In his delusional mind, he feels Facebook cheated in the last election. I don't know how. And so he is feeling like if TikTok is banned, that it would only make Meta stronger. And he doesn't want that. But it's like, it's so classic Donald, right? It's so classic him, where he's such a hypocrite. And if it's not benefiting him, he's not with it. He don't want no parts of it. And that's what seems to be the case that's happening right now, where now that everybody else is on board to ban TikTok, you want to be against it. And it's probably just because he knows a lot of people are against this ban. A lot of the users of the app, not like people in government, a lot of the users of the app are against the ban because they live on TikTok. Some make a living off of it. Some just find it to be a fun app and they spend hours and hours on it. And they're not with it. So maybe he feels if he comes out opposing the ban that he'll get those people to vote for him in the election. That's probably what it is. But I just found that to be super funny. How it's like, really? Like, that's so you. So you to be the opposition on this thing. But yeah, we'll see what happens with the Senate vote and how long it takes, if it actually passes them or not. I don't know. I don't know what this would mean. It would be different for sure. It would probably be the first that I know of app that has been banned in this way that will really affect people like that. People are already thinking of ways to still be able to get on it, find a way to like still use the app, even with it being banned, if it gets banned. But yeah, it will be very interesting to see what comes out of this in the end. I feel like they'll come to a resolution, I feel, some way or another. I'm also one other thought I want to bring up is why the government is saying they want to ban it. So they're feeling like it's a national security issue. And our government, in my opinion, isn't the most trustworthy, I guess I would say. And it's like, is that really the reason? Or is that just what they're saying is the reason? And because if you don't know, in order for TikTok to remain active if this vote goes through is they would have to sell the app. And so it makes me wonder, like, is that the sole reason? Like, y'all just trying to get some of that TikTok bread, like some of that TikTok revenue or something? I don't know. That's where my mind went with it. If it is a national security issue, then absolutely it should be banned. But if the government is just trying to get their hands in it, you know, nothing is legal unless they could get their hands in it. If that's the reason, then that's wild. But I guess we'll see eventually. I don't feel like TikTok is in the ballpark to want to sell. From what I'm seeing, their reaction to this ban talk is, I don't see them selling unless they're going to add a couple extra zeros in the sell of it. But I don't see them really trying to sell. They'll probably just take their L and move on to be banned officially. But yeah, we'll see how this plays out. Let's move on. What else is hot in these blogs? Lake Lanier. It's been said that this company wants to build its first ever water slide coaster at Lake Lanier. And it got a lot of people looking at this whole idea sideways, because if you don't know, Lake Lanier has a history of being what some would say haunted, and it's because of its past. And I've read that it was over like 200 drownings that has happened at Lake Lanier. It's probably more than that. But for those of you who don't know, the reason why people feel it's haunted is because of the town that's under Lake Lanier. It used to be called Oscarville, and it was a predominantly Black town that had its fair share of issues, you know, back in like segregation times, and just where racists were like at the height of how this country operated, where you couldn't even like look at a white woman if you were a Black man. You like, during that time, they had their incidents that took place at Lake Lanier. One of them, it was a young woman. She was 22 years old, who basically lied and said that these two Black men sexually took advantage of her. And this was around a time where white women, as they do still, I'm not even gonna say that. White women, if they were having relations with Black men, they would not want to be seen or have it be found out that they were with the Black man. So if they ever, if it ever came out that they were with the Black man, they would basically lie and say that the Black man was like R-wording her or whatever. And then it would be this whole big old thing where the white mob of men would come into the town and have these like lynching ceremonies and stuff, that whole thing. So we have a few incidences of that had happened in Oscarville. There was another incident where a white woman was found sexually abused in like a forest or something, where her head was like blundered with like a brick or something. And they didn't know who did it. But again, in this era, anytime something happened with white women, the white men would go into these Black towns looking for the assailant. I think they said they found like a mirror or something, a pocket mirror that they said belonged to one of the young Black men or whatever. So they would go into this town and again, have these whole lynching situations that would happen. And with all of that, it forced a lot of the residents out of Oscarville. and they ended up building a dam, and they ended up ultimately flooding the town, which has now become Lake Lanier. So the town is still there. There's still trees that's still like taking up a lot of the lake. And people blame that as the reason why a lot of the people drown, because of the debris from the town that's in the lake. So when people go swimming and stuff, apparently they may get caught up in these trees that's still under there, and then they'll drown. But a lot of people feel like it's our ancestors from that town, for all of the bad stuff that happened to them. And then the fact that they flooded this town and just basically erased it, the history of it. They feel like the people from the town are there to haunt anybody who tried to go swimming on this lake or anything. So now you have this company that wants to build a water slide on this lake. It's kind of crazy. I don't know about you. I wouldn't want to be the ones going down this slide when this happens. Given the history of what goes down at this lake, it's kind of wild that y'all would want to have this water slide. But it's set to open up on May 4th. The name of it, too, is another thing that's kind of interesting. And also, I don't know if they just trying to be funny or if they just are naive to what's going on, but it's called Apocalypso is what the name of this ride would be. And it's set to redefine aquatic thrills. Yeah, with a side of death, I guess. I don't know. It's wild. It's going to be a part of Margaritaville at Lake Lanier Islands. The Margaritaville portion opened up, I think, in like 2018 or something like that. And so this is just an expansion of that. And yeah, count me out. Someone said Lake Lanier should not be a tourist destination. It's so disrespectful to the history of that place. I agree. It's, yeah, I don't know. Someone said, please go to hell. And literally, that's probably what's going to happen when you go there and you try to go down this slide and you land in the water and you get caught up and then you drown, like, because y'all playing. It's definitely disrespectful, for sure. But yeah, this Apocalypso water slide at Lake Lanier is set to open in less than 2 months. We'll see what happens with that and how long it lasts, or who will be the first victim of this water slide. But yeah, let's move on. What else hot in these blogs? Power Book. If you're familiar with the Power series, Power Book is the spinoff. Power Book 2, Ghosts, which follows Tariq St. Patrick's character. He's Ghost's son in the original Power series. So this is kind of his spinoff. And it's a good show. A lot of people who are fans of it has been waiting for the announcement of its return. They just posted the teaser trailer to announce the return of it. And it's going to be a two-part series. The first part is airing on June 7th, and then the second batch of episodes is going to come on starting September 6th. What shocked a lot of fans is the fact that during this announcement, they said that it's going to be the final season of Power Book 2 Ghosts. And I myself, along with a lot of other people, was like, hold on, what you mean final? And it actually came as a shock to even the characters on the show. Michael Rainey Jr., who plays Tariq St. Patrick, he said he learned about the fact that it's going to be the final season the same way we did once Stars posted the trailer. And I'm like, damn, I wanted to keep it under wraps like that. Y'all didn't even tell the cast. But I guess it's safe to say that we know that his character is going to survive the series. Because, you know, whenever it's a series finale, no one's safe. Anybody could get it. They could kill off the whole cast and it wouldn't even matter because it's the end of it anyway. But I guess with Tariq's character not knowing that it's the final one, I guess it's safe to say he will be one of the ones that's surviving this season. The president of programming at Stars had this to say about the finale, series finale. She said, "This explosive season of Ghost is a fitting crescendo in a decade of immensely popular franchise. Fans would not be disappointed. While this marks the conclusion of one chapter, our commitment to the Power Universe endures with more compelling storytelling on the horizon." And she could be speaking about, they just announced that they're going to do a prequel to Ghost and Tommy's characters from the original Power series. And it's going to be called Origins. So it's going to be set to them, I guess, like growing up and the backstory to their thing. So them canceling Power Book 2 Ghost could be making room for that one. I'm like, why y'all couldn't have both? But hey, that's what it is. Michael Rainey Jr., who plays Tariq, he released his own statement. He said, "Portraying Tariq St. Patrick in the Power Universe has been an incredible journey. Power has been an amazing platform, opening doors for young actors like myself, and I'm truly grateful for that. With the ending of Power Book 2, while the ending of Power Book 2 may feel abrupt and disappointing, I choose to view it as a stepping stone for many of us as we transition into the next chapters of our careers." Yeah. We'll see what happens with that. 50 Cent posted about it with Tariq's character saying he didn't know about the finale, and he basically said that's because Michael Rainey don't answer his phone. So I guess, in other words, they tried to call him to let him know. I don't know. It's like, did you call once? Did you leave a message? Did you text? Did you try to call a few times? But 50 Cent is saying that's why Michael Rainey didn't know about the finale, because he don't answer his phone. But yeah, should be interesting. All the good shows be having short runs, and I don't understand it, but hey, it is what it is. Fast shots to Power Book 2. I'll be definitely looking forward to seeing it when it premieres this summer. Let's move on. What else hot in these blogs? Lil Mama is back in the blogs this week. She admits to being depressed after crashing Jay-Z and Alicia Keys' 2009 VMA performance. If you don't know, Jay-Z and Alicia Keys was performing Empire State of Mind at the VMAs, and Lil Mama was feeling inspired, and she decided to get up on that stage, and she was, you know, New York. She was prancing around, like, feeling it. She was, the VMAs was taped in New York that year. She was in the New York spirit, and she got on that stage. And unfortunately, her career has not been the same ever since. I don't know if anybody that was a part of that performance had anything to do with it, or if the people just stopped rocking with her. I can't say. All I could say is her career hasn't been the same since. It's been an uphill battle for Lil Mama, and she's speaking about it now. So she was on a podcast, I believe it was the Jay Hill podcast, and she spoke about it and reflect on the time, even despite Beyonce trying to stop her from getting on the stage, she got up there. She said, "I had to deal with Ed Lover on the radio in the morning, Wendy Williams, Angie Martinez, who talked to Jay. And he was just like, yeah, you know, I didn't like it." She said, "He was so angry, and I was just trying my best to do everything I could do." She said, "After a while, I was like, forgive yourself, bro. Move forward, bro. I was hurt. I was depressed. I was like, yo, what's going on? And you got everybody telling you you're doing bad, people pointing at you like, what did you do? And it, she broke down in tears during the interview. Yeah, she definitely got a bad rep, literally, after this. And I don't know if what her career, if it would have been different had she not gotten on that stage. I don't know if she was blackballed in any way or anything like that, but something happened. Something happened. And that was a while ago. Lil Mama actually was on this show, our show, when she was promoting her role on the TLC biopic, when that was coming out. And come to think of it, we didn't really discuss the VMAs. And I don't know if we just decided not to like help her move forward, but we didn't discuss that. And I feel like if it was today, I would have asked her, like, what up? What were you thinking? But yeah, we didn't discuss that at all. And we just discussed the movie and we discussed other female rappers and stuff at the time. But yeah, I don't know, man. Will we ever let her let this down? It's a good question. I'm sure Jay-Z and Alicia had to have forgiven her by now, all of these years later. You know, you put so much into these performances, you having rehearsals, and it's supposed to be this moment. And then you got somebody that crashes the stage, and it's like, it don't matter who it is. You wasn't in the rehearsal, so it definitely would leave a bad taste in anyone's mouth. But to the extent of it being 14 years later, 13 years later, and 15 years later, and we still not letting it down. Yikes. Someone pointed out Alicia Keys says she didn't see her. They said that's lies. I mean, you know, you in the zone. Is a chance she didn't catch it. Jay definitely caught it. Hove definitely caught it in the clip. He actually gave her a little leg tap, like I don't know if that was to signal like, get out of here. Like, what are you doing up here? He gave her a little leg tap. I don't know if Lil Mama took that as encouragement, like, yeah, he likes that I'm here. I don't know, but it was all bad. All bad. But fast shouts to Lil Mama. I mean, she's still super talented. And she's putting out, I think, a lip gloss now, too. All these years later, after her popular lip gloss song. She's still trying to move and shake a little bit, you know? Someone said Alicia Keys looked right at her. I don't know. But yeah. Let's move on. What else we talking about? So this last thing I want to talk about, actually, it's something else I want to talk about that I completely forgot about because I didn't write it on my list of things that I was going to be talking about. I'm going to just throw it in here now. Is Fannie Willis, and the judge ruling that Fannie Willis can move forward with the Trump case, but under the condition that she fire or he resign Nathan Wade, who the prosecutors was trying to say that their relationship was inappropriate or she benefited in some way with this relationship. I don't understand all that. We all know. We seen what happened during this trial, and they were basically just grasping at straws and trying to say anything that a lot of it didn't even make sense as to why this was even an issue. they kept trying to make it like if Fannie Willis was on trial and she had to remind them, like, I'm not on trial. That criminal you over there representing, he's the one that's about to be on trial. But like I said, I don't know if this could have been a way to try to like stall even. And so I was happy to hear the judge make this ruling. And when I first heard it, I'm like, that should be a no-brainer. Like, unless Nathan Wade was the brains behind this operation, that's a no-brainer that terminate him. Like, let him resign. Like, if this means Fannie Willis being able to grill 45 in court, hey, let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. I'm happy that the judge didn't just completely remove her from the case, because there was no reason to at the end of the day. The judge, he said, without sufficient evidence that the district attorney acquired a personal stake in the prosecution or that her financial arrangements had any impact on the case, the defendant's claims of an actual conflict must be denied. That's it. Must be denied. And of course, 45 and his people, I think they're planning to appeal it. And that is another ploy to just drag it out. I need this case to move forward like yesterday. But of course, they're trying to get closer to the election. They, I think, ultimately want this case to not happen until after the election. They're hoping that 45 will win. And with that, he's trying to have like immunity, complete immunity. That's what they're hoping for. So they're hoping to push this out. And then him not being required to face the music on his crimes. And I'm hoping that we are able to get this going. Get this going. Someone pointed out, if not for this, the trial would have apparently started in April. Yeah, like, stop stalling. You know what's up. He knows what's up. And that's why they found anything. They like, oh, word? She's sleeping with who? They took trips where? What? Bring it up. And now that the judge ruled that she could stay on, Nathan Wade already resigned because he knows what's up too. And he knows the bigger picture. It's like, nah, yeah, I'm out of here. Like he said in his statement, he said, although the court found that the defendants failed to meet their burden of proving that the district attorney acquired an actual conflict of interest, I'm offering my resignation in the interest of democracy and dedication to the American public and move this case forward as quickly as possible. That's it. Let's get it going. I'm looking forward to this because Fannie Willis looked like she ain't playing. She ain't playing with y'all. They know that too. They know that. Someone said, like Roland said, if going after Trump got to be clean. Wait, if going after Trump got to be clean, dump your side piece and don't speed. What? Yeah, they had no business in them people business anyway. Like that has nothing to do with nothing. Like, but yeah, so I'm satisfied. Even though they did nothing wrong, I'm satisfied with the resolution that, okay, you could stay on, but he got to go. Hey, see you at the crib, Nathan. So, yeah. Let's see how this, how much further they try to drag this out with an appeal. But, yeah, someone said you got to be clean. You can't give Trump any ammunition. That is a fact. because you already know. Last but not least, this is actually going to be a part of my What Blows Mind, so I'm going to intertwine it all together. What Blows Mind is the part of the show where I basically say what gets under my skin, what irks my nerves. What's some of the things people do that just have you like, bruh, really? This week, what blows mind, and it was hot in these blogs, is Ye, Kanye West, and Ka-Cinet. So Ka-Cinet is what I believe is like a YouTuber, and he's super popular. He has amassed millions of followers, and he has some influence to the point where a lot of people go on to his streaming platform, and they go on there, and when they're promoting projects or whatever, because you're going to get the eyes at the end of the day. He has a loyal following. And Ye wanted to take part in that. He wanted to have some of that eyes, some of those eyes that that Ka has. And he sent Ka some of his new clothes. I guess it's still called Yeezy. Yeah, some of his Yeezy clothing, the new line. And Ka, like he always do, he tried it on a video in front of the people. And particularly the one clip I seen, he tried on a pair of the sweatpants that Ye sent him. And they were like two sizes too big. They were falling off. So Ka was like, "Yay, what's up? Like, you sent me like a 2X. Like, why you ain't send me like an extra small?" And that's all I saw. If it's something else that was said that I missed, feel free to correct me. But Ka didn't say nothing wrong in that video. He just said the sweats was too big and for Ye to send him a smaller size. Kanye took that the wrong way, and he took that as Ka was dissing his clothing. And he DM'd Ka and he said, "Don't make no jokes about my clothes when you ain't saying nothing about what Adidas is doing. When Vulture's song came out, you ain't play my verse. You controlled. Don't play with me." Ka responded, he said, "I hear you, bro, but ain't no jokes was being said. When I first opened up the package, I showed love instantly. All I did was try on the sweats and it didn't fit. No jokes made. I immediately asked for a new pair." Kanye responded, said, "So you ain't do nothing wrong? So I felt this way for no reason?" Ka said, "Yes." Ye responded, "F you, N-word. You was told to diss my shit. You a pawn." What an overreaction? Because what? Like, that went from 0 to 100. And if you see the video, you see clearly there was no dissing happening. Kanye definitely overreacted in this. I don't know how you take somebody trying on the pants and like, "Yo, they don't fit. Like, why you ain't send me an extra small?" Like, as a diss. Like, make it make sense. So Ka responded to that. He said, "Keep it family friendly, no cursing." He said, "The pants don't fit, Ye. You think someone told me something? I'll prove you wrong." And then he said, "F Adidas, like just playing around or whatever." Fast forward to Kanye's manager, a guy named John Monopoly, calls Ka on the phone, and Ka documented this whole thing on his streaming thing. And what blows mine about this is it's not even Ye overreacting, because that's could be a misunderstanding that him and Ka could have worked out. It's the fact that this John Monopoly guy called Ka, and his tone and the way he was talking to Ka, and I think it's partially because he knows how old Ka is. Ka is probably like 22 years old, and I could imagine John Monopoly is probably like in his 40s or 50s. And I don't know if he took that as like, "I'm a son you. You a little dude, and I'm a son you." So his tone and how he was talking to Ka, I wasn't feeling. It was uncalled for, because Ka did nothing wrong in this scenario. Nothing at all. Ye the one overreacted to Kai's trying on the sweatpants. And the tone he took, it wasn't called for. He cut him off like, I'm not finished. I'm not done talking. Anytime Kai tried to say something, he talk about like, I could come meet you in your hood or something. It'd just be me and one other person. You could like have your whole crew or stuff. And it's like, unless y'all meeting up with him to give him the right size sweatpants, this ain't it. Like, why are you giving him that type of energy? It was uncalled for. I feel like Ye, we all know Ye. Ye don't need nobody to fight his battles for him. Ye could have very well handled the situation himself. Why does this manager have to call Kai to try to like bully him in a sense? It blew my mind when I seen it, because it's like, this is uncalled for. For one, you talking to somebody that's probably 30 years your junior, and you like trying to like strong arm him for something that was like a misunderstanding. And so, yeah, that just didn't sit right with me. And I'm like, nah, this ain't it. This ain't it. I ain't even know Kanye had a manager. This is my first time of seeing this, hearing this person's name. But yeah, it's not cool. It's not cool at all. When you look at the timeline of how this went down, Ye was in the wrong here. And that's it. I don't respect it, the reactions to it. But yeah. So that was a part of my what blows mine, and I think that's probably all I got for today. So that's going to conclude what's hot in the blogs for this week. In the meantime, in between time, I'm going to check if we got any more responses to the question of the week, but be sure to follow me on social media. Follow the podcast page at Hollywood and Friends on Instagram or facebook.com/Hollywood and Friends Radio. Follow me on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff at I Am Hollywood. If you're on TikTok, it's at I Am Hollywood NY. Follow my producer, Stacy, for always holding it down at Hampton Blue Network across all platforms. Just remember, BLU is how you spell blue. And if you want to see us, come see our faces, youtube.com/HamptonBlue. It's a lot of content over there. Pull it up right now. Go check it out. Like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. And yeah, we're going to get ready to wrap this thing on up and get out of here. I don't see any more responses to the question of the week. So yeah, appreciate you for listening. However you're listening, you're the real one for that. And until next time. Deuces. Get your passports ready. Let me show you off, take off no matter the cost. Come on now, let me take you across lakes and rivers, yachts and boats. We could go to Paris, let me show you the lavish. Ain't no need to pack, we can shout where we landed. Get you well established, upgrading your status. Then we hit the Eiffel for dinner when you famished. We could go to Spain, Barcelona, Senorita. I'll show you a buen momento. And we don't gotta rush a thing, despacito. Just wanna spend my time contigo, tigo. So I'm a one true beauty, and is that the finest thing all around the world? No hesitate, you choose anything you want, but just why you be me. So I'm a one true beauty, and is that the finest thing all around the world? No hesitate, you choose anything you want, but just why you be me. Come on now, let me show you all. Take off no matter the cost. Come on now, let me take you across lakes and rivers, yachts and boats. Take you on a cruise to the carnival, Barbados, crop over you, yeah.
Trinidad, Tobago, Topeka, Island hop like we kangaroos. We could go to Jamaica, hit Ocho Rios, lounge with the locals, eat like the people. Island tings, rum punch and mojito, then watch the sunset from a gazebo. Zebo.
Coast to coast, grandma. Jamaica, the land of water. She take a pull on for me marijuana. She then yard, she know I'm creating a drama. No, African queen girl. Take a trip in a my ride. Your body clean like this, bro. Let me take your pun to a girl.
What you mean you just got this passport? She only got one stamp in it. Let's change that.
So what me want? Choose anything you want, but just why you be my guy. So when me want true beauty, I decide the finest thing all around the world. No hesitate, you choose anything you want, but just why you be my guy.
Come on now, let me show you off. Take off no matter the cost. Come on now, let me take you across lakes and rivers, yachts and boats.